Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of May 20th. We'll start with local news. Coronavirus update. Rantoul Foods begins hiring again. Positive cases now at 87. Rantoul Foods, which has had at least 87 workers stricken with COVID-19 at its meat processing plant, started hiring again. But the meat processing company said new workers must take a COVID-19 test and receive negative results prior to starting work in an email Monday to the Midwest Center for Investigative Reporting. Meantime, the food plant announced this week that three more workers had tested positive. Rantoul Foods is one of Central Illinois' largest meat processing plants. Until the outbreak began in late April, workers processed 35 million pounds of meat a month. Now the plant has been operating at less than 50% of normal, the company said, and plant officials are increasing production in small increments as they have evaluated how to reincorporate employees who are returning from quarantine. Rantoul Foods reported its first COVID-19 case April 25th. Health inspectors made an on-site visit April 27th and found the plant to be more than 90% out of compliance with infection control practices. But the plant had been under scrutiny by health officials since March. The plant is currently complying with health regulations now, health officials have said. Rantoul Foods said it stopped hiring after the first confirmed case. After 2 weeks off and several days of no additional positive tests, the company said it had begun to slowly resume the hiring process. Workers are now encouraged to get tested, although they are not required to. The plant conducted a two-day mass testing event for workers May 8th and 9th and was able to test 227 workers, plant management said earlier this month. Up until then, about 200 workers had been tested. The plant has about 627 workers, management said in earlier interviews. John Deere donated face shields sufficient for the entire staff, the company said. The shields are required in addition to the mandatory face masks workers must wear if they cannot maintain social distance consistently throughout their shift. The shields are also available to workers to use, even if they can maintain social distancing. A new drive-through community-based testing site launched May 19th at a shopping center in Champaign, about 20 minutes away, and is geared toward anyone with symptoms and essential workers with or without symptoms. The test is free and no referral is needed. Additional cases found. During a meeting between Rantoul Foods and the CU Public Health Department, CUPHD, on May 20th, the health department informed Rantoul Foods that three additional positive COVID-19 tests that were administered May 9th were Rantoul Food employees. The delay in attribution was due to discrepancies in contact information provided to the health department and the information Rantoul Foods had on record, according to a press release from SafeWorks Illinois. These positive tests have been included in the CUPHD reports since test results were provided to the health department, but are now being counted as part of the Rantoul Foods total. Due to those individuals receiving positive test results, the health department had informed workers that they were under quarantine and unable to return to Rantoul Foods until they met the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, guidelines for returning to work. One additional positive case was reported to Rantoul Foods in the same meeting. This is an employee who took a voluntary self-quarantine beginning May 3rd. He developed symptoms May 16th and was tested the following day. Since his last day working at Rantoul Foods was May 2nd, and he first developed symptoms 2 weeks later, it is highly unlikely that he contracted COVID-19 at work. As with any other positive case, he has entered the CUPHD quarantine protocol and will not return to work until released to do so, the SafeWorks release said. That brings the total number of Rantoul Foods employees who have tested positive for COVID-19 to 87. The release cautioned that it is important to note that only one of those cases is new, since the test administered on May 9th and the new positive case is not a cause for concern for other employees based on the timing of the onset of his symptoms and his absence since May 3rd. Rantoul swimming pool won't open during Memorial Day weekend. Add another activity to the list of things that can't be done because of the coronavirus. Rantoul's Hap Parker Family Aquatic Center won't open on time the Memorial Day weekend due to the pandemic. That doesn't mean it will necessarily be closed all season. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the village has prepared an operational plan for how to implement proper infection control practices at the pool, so if allowance is made by the governor for water recreation this summer, we are prepared to open. Rantoul Recreation Director Luke Humphrey said this is a first. The pool has never opened late. As for whether this will pose a problem for hiring staff, Humphrey said hiring front desk and concession staff should be done rather quickly when the word comes the pool can open. Hiring lifeguards, however, might be another matter. Lifeguarding is a concern, but we continue to keep in touch with the Red Cross to determine recertification statuses and requirements as things change at the state level, Humphrey said. Ultimately, if given the opportunity, we will work diligently to put the pieces back in place to reopen as quickly as possible. Another coronavirus update. Bars, restaurants will be allowed to serve customers in outdoor spaces starting May 29th. Fisher has recorded its first confirmed case of COVID-19, according to Wednesday's report from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health Department. Rantoul's numbers continue to climb with 127 cases, an increase of 9 from Tuesday. Ludlow now has 5 cases, an increase of 1. Thomasboro, 2. Gifford and Penfield, 1 each. Numbers remain the same. Countywide, there were 476 confirmed cases with 239 active, 230 recovered, 5 hospitalized, and 7 deaths. So long as they observe social distancing procedures, bars and restaurants will be allowed to seat and serve customers in outdoor patios earlier than expected statewide, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced this afternoon. That will be allowed on May 29th when all 4 regions statewide are likely to advance to Phase 3 of Governor Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan. With the right restrictions, tables 6 feet apart and away from the sidewalks, masks and distancing measures for staff and other precautions, the experts believe that these services can open at a risk comparable to other outdoor activities and give our hospitality industry a much-needed boost as they work to keep their businesses on their feet during this terrible crisis, Pritzker said. Let's close down the streets. Let's expand sidewalk cafes. Let's use parking lots. Let's show the world how innovative Illinois can be, said Sam Toya, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Up until now, bars and restaurants have only been allowed to offer carryout and delivery services under the stay-at-home order. That was not scheduled to change until Phase 4. Among other adjustments being made to the original plan to take effect May 29th, foursomes will be allowed to play at the same tee time on state golf courses. In Phase 2, golf was limited to twosomes. Both indoor and outdoor tennis courts will be allowed to open. All state parks will reopen, with significant work to determine staffing and safety measures, Pritzker said. All concessions at those sites will reopen as well. Illinois has joined New York and New Jersey as the only states with more than 100,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases. IDPH Director Ngozi Ezike announced 2,388 new cases at today's daily briefing in Springfield, bringing the state total to 100,418. Champaign County on Tuesday saw its biggest 24-hour increase in newly confirmed COVID-19 cases, adding 37 to a count that now stands at 449. 7% of the 532 new tests run on county residents came back positive, 1 percentage point lower than the statewide count on Tuesday, 1,545 cases, 18,443 tests. Of the 449, 223 are considered recovered and 219 active. The number of hospitalized residents increased by 1 for the second straight day from 4 to 5. With 118 confirmed cases, up 9 from Monday, Rantoul's 61866 zip code had the most in the county by 41. Next closest in the county, according to CU Public Health District data, that doesn't distinguish between recovered and active, Champaign 61821, 77 cases, an increase of 6, Champaign 61820, 75, up 10, and Urbana 61802, 61, up 6. Encouraging news, the 4,002 people hospitalized statewide with COVID-19 are the fewest since April 12th, and both the 993 in ICU beds and 576 on ventilators are the fewest since March. This just solidifies these preventative measures have been working, State Public Health Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said. Who needs a haircut? You'll likely be able to get one before the month's out, no matter where you live in Illinois. Governor Pritzker said all four regions are on track to advance on May 29th to Phase 3 of his Restore Illinois plan, which allows for non-essential businesses to reopen, including barbers and hair salons, but keeps restaurants and bars to carry out and delivery service only, permissible public gatherings to 10 people or fewer, and gyms closed. RCS teachers write to their students May 20th. To my third graders, I have learned a lot from you, and we have had a great school with many memories we can cherish. You have worked so hard and grown so much. I'm very blessed to have had you in my class. You will always keep a special spot in my heart. I miss you all so much, but look forward to seeing you in the fall. Please stop by my room and say hello when school starts up again. Missing you, Mrs. Owens. Dear friends, I am so proud of how hard you worked in my classroom, especially this last part of the school year. You are all superstars and ready for a break. I know you will continue to learn over the summer, but please take time to have fun and enjoy it with your family. I miss you and am so excited to see all your smiling faces when school starts. This is not goodbye, but until we meet again. Happy summer break. Mrs. Leisha Lukash, Special Education Teacher, Northview Elementary. 39 years. Fisher's break, retiring. From Fisher. Kathy Brake will be retiring from Fisher Grade School after 39 years. Brake taught Title I reading for a few years in fifth grade. She has also directed high school plays for 38 years. We asked Brake a few questions. If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with that time? I would do some reading or binge watch something on TV. What hobby would you like to explore? I would like to do art, like painting pictures. I am not very artistic, but would like to learn. What stories would your children and grandchildren like to hear about someday? They would probably want me to tell them stories about our family vacations, either that or the one and only time I got in trouble in school and it wasn't my fault. What is your favorite piece of clothing and why? My black jacket is my favorite because it was my mother-in-law's and I think of her whenever I wear it. What are the small things that make your day? The small things would be smiles on people's faces that I meet, seeing, and talking with my children and grandchildren, and finding a reason to laugh. What was the luckiest thing that happened to you? It would be when I was in Branson 5 or 6 years ago and getting on the stage and singing at a show with my husband and two of my dearest friends. I had to pinch myself. What are your favorite smells? I love bread baking in the oven and vanilla. What fictional place would you like to visit? I would like to go to Willy Wonka's factory. Who wouldn't like all of that candy, especially chocolate? What would you tell yourself 20 years ago? I would tell myself to have more fun, don't take things so seriously or personally, and to always find the good in every situation. I will miss the people I have worked with all these years. They are my family, and I will miss them terribly. And now from the opinion page, and Dave Porter, the Rantoul Press columnist. The adventure of getting old guys to learn technology. It's been nearly 2 months since I've been to the cigar shop due to the pandemic quarantine. I have plenty of cigars, but a big part of the enjoyment of cigars is being in the shop, bantering with the others. Since we can't be together, I decided to organize a virtual cigar party and invite all the guys, even the ones I don't like that much. It occurred to me that without the whole group, it could be pretty boring. Some of the best conversations are born of disagreement, and bonding takes place over a mutual disdain for someone else's position. Maybe that's not very nice, but think about it. People tend to gravitate towards others for a variety of reasons. Respect, envy, humor, like interests. But those factors don't show themselves automatically. They show up in conversations, but especially during lively discussions. The first challenge I had was finding everyone. Although I could see all the guys at the shop, I had a Facebook connection with one of the guys and an email for another one. So I sent messages to them and asked them to share with their contacts. Inch by inch, I had heard from about 15 guys. Half of them didn't know how to connect remotely and didn't seem interested in learning. A couple were too busy and a couple thought it was a stupid idea to begin with. We ended up with 6 on the list and agreed upon a time. I said I'd set up a Zoom meeting and send instructions. Of course, Paul, who knows it all, thought Zoom was a poor choice and advocated for a pay site. I explained that some of us were not willing to pay a monthly fee for a one-time frivolous get-together that was designed to stave off boredom during the quarantine. The day came, and I sent out the link for the meeting. Tim and Jack joined right away. Big Vince was having trouble logging on. We eventually got him. Well, we got his son, who was trying to help him. We finally got an image, but no audio, and the image was just of Vince's forehead with a lot of wall and ceiling behind him. Steve joined the meeting, but his image was sideways. He was using his phone and had it turned on its side. We convinced him to rotate his phone, and now he was upside down. "It's okay," he said. "I'm just hanging out. I always wanted to be a vampire." We could hear Paul, but had no image of him. Paul was explaining that bats, including vampire bats, hang upside down, but vampires themselves don't. He added the caveat that vampires aren't real. Paul is very thorough like that. We then went to work to try to help Paul with his camera. Paul insisted he was doing everything right and that my choice of apps was to blame. "This wouldn't be a problem if we'd use GoToMeeting," he said. We were simultaneously trying to get Vince to adjust his camera and for Steve to rotate his phone 180 degrees. Tim's wife was vacuuming behind him, and the noise kept his mic activated, drowning out everyone else. We finally got the vacuum shut off, and Jack's kid to quit playing the drums in the next room. We could now see Vince's eyes, and we figured that was the best we were going to get. Then Ronnie texted me saying he could join, so I sent him the link. Pretty soon, we were all settled and ready. Vince initiated the conversation, but within seconds, everyone was talking at once, and the whole thing was garbled. I tried to shout over the others to get the message through that we would need to speak one at a time. The meeting fell quiet. In an attempt to restart the conversation, Tim and Steve spoke up at the same time. That was followed by a round of, "You go, no, you go first, no, you." Then Paul's video suddenly appeared. There he was, pipe in hand, wearing his purple smoking jacket. We all welcomed Paul and commented on his attire. Then everyone started talking at the same time again. Rather than trying to talk over them, I scratched out a sign that said, "Take turns," and held it up. We quickly worked out a system where we would raise a hand if we wanted to speak. Since I initiated the meeting, I was elected moderator to call on the next speaker. Paul raised his hand, so I called on him. "This is working pretty well," he said. "Better than everyone talking at once." "Thank you, Paul." Just then, a message flashed on the screen stating that the meeting would end in 10 minutes unless I upgraded to a paid account. Paul raised his hand. "Yes, Paul?" "You should have used that other app." We managed to get in a few minutes of dialogue, which consisted mostly of, "This sucks," "I don't want to do this again," and "I can't wait till we can meet in person again." I thought about suggesting that I could start a new meeting now that we all knew how to do it, but seeing how well this one went, I decided to call it quits. I'm actually not looking forward to our next in-person meeting because I know this fiasco will come up again. Well, at least I tried. Dave Porter can be reached at porter@ramblinman.us. His knowledge base may be void of usefulness, but he has a lot of it. He's the king of nothing. We have one death notice for the week. David C. Warner, 64, of Champaign, Illinois. After a battle with cancer, passed away on his family farm in rural Rantoul on the evening of May 14th. A celebration of life will be held for friends and family at a later date. Lux Memorial Chapel Rantoul is handling the arrangements. And again from the opinion page, a letter by Marie Hitz, "Don't use up a good worry." Have you found yourself praying more since the coronavirus moved into our lives? Well, I have. Have things become more meaningful to you? I used to think I was a pretty good prayer. In the morning when I arose, I thanked God for a good night's rest, then morning devotions, a quick thank you for meals, evening devotions, a thank you before sleep. Now it seems as if God is everywhere. I live in an assisted living facility housing 40-plus residents. All the residents are in lockdown, and we can only leave our apartments to grab a newspaper and get our mail. When we do this, because we obey all the safety rules, we wear a mask. If someone is getting their newspaper at the same time, hopefully you will recognize their mask, and as long as you are 6 feet away, sneak in a good morning, how are you holding up, and go back to your apartment. As I go past the other apartments, I wonder how they are doing and send up a little prayer that they will not feel too confined or unhappy. Up goes another little prayer that we are still all well and not quarantined because one of the residents has become ill with the virus. Again, because we can't leave our residents, meals are brought to our apartments by a certified nurse assistant. Since I am the lazy sort, I kind of like that, but one has no choice in the food or the amount. When I lift the little lid of the serving box, I think, oh no, not pasta again, and right away I mentally slap my wrist and think of all the people who are standing in line to obtain food for their families that may only last for the day. The next time I am served, I don't complain and quietly and thankfully eat what is set before me. I have so many blessings in my life, I cannot enumerate them all. When we have a cloudy day, I ask God for sunshine, and the next day the sun comes out brighter than ever. If I stub my toe, I thank God I did not break it. I am old and fall easily, and when I don't lose my balance, I am really thankful. Even at times, the hurts become a blessing. When I hear on the news of the many people who are sick and dying, I pray to God to give them relief and make them well, and if not, in His mercy, to take them with Him to heaven. I try not to worry too much about situations I cannot do anything about, but when I do begin to worry, I think of a Peanuts cartoon that was in the paper recently. Two little boys were sitting at their school desks. The first one said, "I am so tired. I didn't sleep all night. I was worried and I worried and I worried." Linus, the other boy, said, "What did you worry about?" "Well, I was afraid I would not pass my test," the boy said. "What happened?" Linus asked. The boy said, "I got an A." "Well," said Linus, "you just used up a good worry." And that is the way we are in a lot of instances. When I talk with my sister and other members of my family, and they or I complain about a little ache or pain, we always say, "Don't use up a good worry." God did not send the coronavirus, but He will see us through it. He doesn't want us to use up a good worry, but I am certain He will hear our prayers, large or small. In one of our Bible study classes, someone expressed a concern they had, and I said that God said, "Don't be afraid." Our pastor, Matt Blandfleth, said there are 375 places in the Bible. I was going to jokingly say that I only counted 374, where God said, "Don't be afraid," starting with Abraham, who did not question God when God said, "Get your people together. I am going to make of you a great nation," and to Moses and Joshua and on to Christ. Now when I feel a worry coming on, I look up to God and hear Him say very gently, "Don't be afraid." I am a former registered nurse and have been involved with some tough situations, but never in my wildest dreams could I have imagined myself in places where the medical profession is now. Do they get a little uh-oh and send up a quick little prayer? No, no, I'd like to gather them all in one place and ask God to personally bless them for doing such a heroic job. There are many, many things I thank God for throughout the day, but they are too numerous to mention. I would ask you to try the same if you haven't. It will give you great comfort. And remember, don't be afraid and don't waste a good worry. Marie Hitz, a retired nurse, lives in Rantoul. After the storms come the sunshine, green grass for horses to enjoy. From Rural Dewey, by Heidi Fogel, a Rantoul Press columnist. Yay, it's May! We've made it so far at Society for Hooved Animals Rescue and Emergency. The few nice sunny days we've had spoiled our horses. Then came rain, frost, and cool weather, and horses were kept inside. But even horses get spring fever, especially if there's a sprig of green showing. Some of the pasture gets so muddy it's hard for horses or volunteers to walk in. Lost many a boot in the mud. I wish we had a walk-through for the horses like a car drive-through for a wash. Our volunteers have been wonderful during the COVID-19 pandemic. Since no new volunteers are accepted at this time, our regulars have been putting in extra time to have each day covered. Also, no visitors to check out horses for adoption. We want everyone to stay healthy. To keep our horses healthy, all 44 have received their required vaccinations for the year. So on top of hay and grain costs, we now have a vet bill of $2,300. I've tried playing the lottery, but no luck so far. A donation or two would be wonderful. If you need an address, please call me at 217-840-4333 and I can give it to you. Some good news. We do have some wonderful news to share with you. In the fall of 2019, Dakota came to share. She was such a sweetie and quickly became a favorite of all the volunteers. Apparently, during a visit to share, a young lady saw Dakota and thought she'd be the perfect horse for her to continue learning to ride on. After a few suggestions and hints to the young lady's dad, Dakota now has found her forever home. Terry, the oldest daughter, is also kind enough to share with her sisters. Even her 3-year-old sister got a ride on Dakota. Always a happy ending. And another happy ending. Another wonderful update. It's always great to have good news to share. In 2013, Rex was a shy, nervous, distrustful young gelding until he met Amy, who wanted to give Rex a chance. And today, 7 years later, Rex is a wonderful trail mount for Amy. He's still a bit nervous around others, but she says he definitely thinks before reacting. Says Amy, "His trust in me is amazing, and he will be with our family always. Thank you for taking a chance and giving Rex the best life ever. By rescuing these horses and giving them a reason to live and possibly a new forever home, Cher does wonders." Heidi Fogel, a Rantoul resident, is a volunteer coordinator at Cher. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week. I hope to read with you again soon. Please stay safe and stay well.